It's been 15... Damn, I don't know how many years, but definitely longer than a decade. And the same thing has been happening for 15 years. Manny Pacquiao, the winner. Now, I think the place where we got to start, thank you for listening, by the way. This is Sunday Puncher Podcast. This is the immediate post-fight reaction. I got Fred here with me. We're going to discuss everything about that main event. And it certainly is deserving of discussion. There's a lot of talking points, I think. We got nothing on the track. No story. We're just going to let it begin. So I want to ask you specifically, was the scoring accurate? Because, I mean, I watched the fight with a bunch of casual fans, okay, who all wanted Manny Pacquiao to win. And, at the, you know, they thought Thurman was, like, stopped. I mean, the place went nuts in the first round. But I got to ask you, like, you objectively watching that fight, as I was, and I'll say this, I called the scorecards perfectly, but for you, from what you saw, were the scorecards accurate?
Well, now, but then this is Glenn Feldman who thought that Golovkin got a draw against Canelo in the second fight. So, you know, obviously his scoring's terrible.
Oh, so you're going to blame the judges.
Yeah. No, I'm just pointing out the one guy you said Thurman won is a terrible judge, so you know his score. In the
oh, wow. Wow, you're going to go there right now.
To jump right on it. See, now you're all in a tricky spot there, you Golovkin fans.
Okay, so if you thought Gennady Golovkin won that second fight with Canelo, your boy, Glenn Feldman, also thought Keith Thurman won this fight. And this, like, we could get into a conversation of, like, well, perhaps... What are these judges looking at? Because obviously they have a bias, and we've went in depth on this in the past before about how judges have a bias, and like you, it's kind of good that they have a bias. I mean, as long as they're not like biased towards like, well, I only scored for Eastern European fighters, that type of bias. But do you think the judges in general got it right? I mean, two cards for Manny Pacquiao, one card for Keith Thurman.
Yeah, because okay, in the start, you give those especially the first two rounds to Pacquiao, obviously, but then Thurman did have his spots where he came back, and it's like, okay, well, what are you watching throughout the 3 minutes? But they, once Thurman sort of, he had a couple rounds where he started to figure things out, and he was like winning rounds, clear rounds, but then there was also a lot of back and forth. And yeah. So in that back and forth, it leaves a lot of room to interpretation, so that's what you get with the cards. So yeah, I don't have a problem with the cards. So
I think it was pretty accurate. The commentary pointed out that Thurman's corner had said, you know, by round five is when we're going to make an adjustment. And I think Thurman nearly swept the fight after round five. Like, clearly, if we erase the first five rounds, Thurman, you know, wins probably, you know, so that was five, so there's seven rounds left. Thurman probably wins five of the seven final rounds. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I guess it would.
By the way, Tim Cheatham, who had it 115-112 for Pacquiao, he only gave Manny Pacquiao one round after round five.
Yeah, yeah. So like I said, yeah, that's the thing where those rounds were their swing rounds. Like they go either way, and it's like, okay, what are they really counting? So yeah, it's weird, but I don't have a problem with it, you know, because it's two rounds different in the end? Like, I mean, for the scores?
Yeah, you know, it's a two-round swing. 115-113,
yeah, it's going to be... So, yeah, it was that close, you know. Although I think that Pacquiao won it, but Thurman definitely was coming on, you know, in that middle section.
I definitely think that the scorecards... Now, here's the thing, okay? Let me... If we take these scorecards, right, and we reverse the outcome... And say that Keith Thurman had won by split decision. Would that be okay?
I disagree with it.
But would it be like controversial in the sense that it is legitimately potentially foul play? AKA a robbery.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it was a robbery or foul play. I'd say it wasn't.
No, I'm saying if the outcome was different, if Keith Thurman was the one who got the decision.
I wouldn't call it a robbery, but I would say it was bad judging. Like I said, I don't think it's because I don't use robbery a lot.
So in your mind, you think Manny Pacquiao won the fight?
And if he would have lost split decision, I think that would have been a bad judging, but not like a robbery, because Thurman did have a lot of rounds. And like I said, there was rounds where even Manny won that Thurman still got some work in. Yeah.
You know, so you think Manny Pacquiao won the fight, clearly. Wow. Never thought I'd see this day.
Well, I'm going to give it up to Manny. He fought a good fight. He fought a really smart fight. But like, but again, Thurman had his spots.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, Keith Thurman took the fight over in terms of he had Manny Pacquiao figured out after round five. But the thing about this fight, it reminded me of like the old master versus the new flashy student, where Keith Thurman, he fought brilliantly at times. He landed big shots. He countered Manny Pacquiao. He backed him up. He did all the things that on paper you would want to see someone do if they were going to beat Manny Pacquiao. However, Manny Pacquiao was efficient in this fight. Manny Pacquiao old manned Keith Thurman, and how he did that was an IQ play. Keith Thurman lost this fight due to his corner not being smart enough to recognize what was happening. Manny Pacquiao fought when he needed to. Manny Pacquiao treaded water for the first half of the round and didn't start ramping it up towards the end. And there were some rounds where he didn't even ramp it up at all because he was like, oh, Thurman's not doing nothing, I won't either. I'll throw, because he was clearly throwing punches, but he didn't need to make them count. And so Keith Thurman lost rounds because he wasn't fighting at the right time. He couldn't leave an impression at the end of the round when Manny Pacquiao would win literally like the final 40 seconds of the round. Manny Pacquiao would steal him. This was a clear, just a poor corner move by Keith Thurman, and that they didn't recognize what was happening and implore Thurman to actually mount some sort of counter against that. Because Keith Thurman, specifically after round five, clearly outboxed Manny Pacquiao. But he didn't win every single round after round five. He didn't do enough to win the fight. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, again, it's like, this is where like they talk about a fighter's experience comes into play. I think, yeah, man, I'd agree with all that. Like, definitely from the sixth round, Thurman, he figured it all out. But then until that body punch in the later rounds, I think that's what swung it back from him.
Yeah, that optics matter. And I don't know about you, but, well, I watched with a bunch of people, and everyone like just was screaming, thinking Thurman was done. Now, I don't know what happened at that moment. The camera work wasn't great because with the knockdown in the first round, I have no clue if that was Thurman tripping or his feet being stepped on. And it looked like it to me, the way Thurman fell back, the way Thurman reacted when he hit the ground, how Thurman got up and he would look totally fine. It seemed to me that that might have been, you know, some foot stepping that made Thurman go down like that. And that's fine. But we didn't get the clear shot of that. And we also didn't get a shot of what clearly happened when Thurman, I don't know, he took his mouthpiece out. I mean, that was just a bizarre moment. One of the more bizarre moments I've actually ever seen in a fight. To you, what happened there?
It was a body shot. They sort of showed that again. And like, this is sort of like what happened in the Collazo fight. You know, Collazo caught Thurman to the body. It's not a liver punch. Everyone thinks all these body shots are a liver punch. If it was a liver punch, he wouldn't get up. You know, like you can't sort of walk liver shot because that's just it shuts you down. It was a hard body shot and he couldn't breathe. That's why, because his nose is already probably bloody. And it's like he couldn't breathe at all. That's why he took the mouthpiece.
That makes a lot of sense. So like, yeah, I couldn't hear any commentary. So I had no context for what was happening.
Well, they didn't know. They didn't certainly know either. They thought it was a headbutt, you know, just because of the...
There was a headbutt.
Yeah, there was a bit of a headbutt later, too. But at the start, it was clear it was a body shot.
So, I mean, I said the optics matter because, yes, Thurman got hit with the shot. He was hurt. However, you got to have a poker face about that. And Thurman looked like he was, you know, knocking on death's door when that happened. Like, Thurman, like, did not... No, like he sold that one. I mean, it looked clear he was really hurt.
Yeah, and that's it. Like you see, optics do matter. And even though, on these scorecards, they gave the 12th just to Manny. They gave the next round back.
Two of them gave it to Manny. One of them gave it to Thurman. That was Glenn Feldman. I thought Pacquiao clearly won the 12th.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird one, but thinking of the 12th, that was Manny's.
Well, Thurman didn't do anything. That was another example of like, hey, the fight is within reach for you, and you come out and do nothing. If Thurman wins that final round, the scorecards are completely different.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just bizarre to me. Actually, no, maybe I think he might. Yeah, he still loses. Still, the fight.
Manny still would have won.
But then we have the Andre Ward scores where it's like 114, 113. It's like, okay, that was as close as it possibly could have been. And In my mind, it was a 6-4 Manny win, by the way. Sorry, not 6-4. That adds up to 10. A 6-6 with the knockdown win for Manny Pacquiao. I thought it was as close as it could have been. And, you know, I could see through the fact that Manny Pacquiao, you know, this was a smoke and mirrors performance. This was the old veteran using every trick that he knows to get by. Manny Pacquiao fought to do enough to win. He didn't fight to come in and knock Keith Thurman out, although he was successful in like hurting him. Were you shocked when Pacquiao put him down in the first?
Yeah, and I think Goosen said at the end of the fight, he sort of made a comment about it could have been a foot stomping, but there's more. He was making a joke to Lennox Lewis, but they didn't. They never said at the start. So when you're talking about it could have been, he stepped on his foot. It might have happened, but still, he hit Thurman with a clear shot. I was a little shocked at how Manny was coming out at him, but this is the traps that Floyd talked about that Floyd never fell for. You know, Manny wants you to come at him so he can respond and not just counter, but he sort of just, you could see that in the first round. He goes sort of backwards with Thurman. Then when Thurman's done, Manny comes straight back at him and like he attacks. And that's the trap. That's one of Manny's biggest traps he's used in his career. And Thurman was getting caught with it in the start.
And I think there are so many fighters can reach such a height in the sport and, you know, in terms of being extremely talented fighters. And Keith Thurman is really talented. You saw in this fight, he's got a lot of talent, and we've seen it by beating Danny Garcia, by beating Sean Porter. Keith Thurman is a good fighter. I don't care who you are. You can't take that away from the guy. Now, the other aspect of being a really good fighter, though, is how can you transition between offense and defense? And there are so many fighters that reach this high level, and you know, where they're champions, some of them even two, unified champions, but they can't transition seamlessly between offense and defense. It's one or the other. And the great fighters can make it, like, you know, Floyd can walk in on you and his defense is his offense and his offense is his defense. Like it's seamless back and forth. I know you don't like Sergio Martinez, but Sergio Martinez was great at defending, switching into offense and switching back into his defense. And that's what you have to do, especially with a guy like Manny Pacquiao, because he throws in combination. And if you shut down and your whole mindset in an exchange switches defense, defend myself, and Thurman was doing this where he switches to defense, but his defense is so ridiculous that it put him out of position. And now Manny Pacquiao lands a punch, lands a few on the you know, his gloves or whatever, but Thurman's facing the other direction from Manny. And he's like, you know, 4 feet away where neither guy can now touch. Well, the optics matter. And it looks like Manny Pacquiao wins those exchanges, even if Manny Pacquiao landed like one grazing shot. And Thurman, his transition between the two just wasn't good to me. And it was he was off balance a lot. And I think that was partly why he went down. It's like Thurman, a lot of his defense is predicated on jumping back. Well, he's moving backwards, jumping back. Manny Pacquiao goes after him, hits him. I don't think it was hard to put him down. Like, clearly he hit him with a shot and it was a good shot. But like, Thurman was already running backwards, like not running, you know, not even running in the Arizona Lara sense. But, you know, he's moving back so fast that it didn't take much to put him down. Add to that, if he stepped on his foot, it's like, okay, well, that makes sense why you went down.
Yeah, Thurman used to have that. It used to be a lot more obvious when he was younger. You could see him offense, then it's almost like he stops, and then it defense. You know, you could see the hitch in the way he fought and his flow. It didn't show up, but then again, we haven't seen him that much in the last couple of years. In some of the fights, he looked a lot better, but he still, it did come up, like you say. He can't flow as effortlessly as Manny was doing.
I mean, and that's when
boxing. Oh, time.
Well, he had moments in this fight. Yeah. Like,
that sixth round looked like he figured it all out.
Yeah, he looked phenomenal for about four rounds, I think. I think from 6 to 9, he looked like, okay, this looks like the old Keith Thurman. He looked fast. I mean, what do you think of his speed? Because I thought Keith looked very slow in this fight until the sixth round.
Yeah, like I said, that was it. He was confused at the start of the fight. You know, he was really confused and he couldn't get things together. And yeah, but then he switched it on. I'd say that, you know, I think no one could say that they weren't surprised at how fast Manny was.
No.
You haven't seen this kind of fast reaction Manny in a long time.
The only one that would look surprised about Manny Pacquiao's speed was Keith Thurman.
Yeah.
I mean, Keith looks slow at the start of the fight. And, like, you can't be slow against Manny Pacquiao. The dude is, at 40 years old, is still one of the fastest fighters in the sport, if not at welterweight. I mean, he's blazing fast. And he throws punches. Like, Manny's reckless with the punches he throws. Like, did you notice, like, those moments where, like, his head would dip below and he would just kind of, like, just fling his arm over his hand. It looked like he was throwing a ball without looking, just flung it over. And, like, none of those punches really landed, but, like, that keeps Thurman thinking. And Thurman, by the way, did not get Manny Pacquiao's respect in this fight until the sixth round.
Yeah, for sure. And then you started to see Manny tire a bit, but then Manny sort of caught a second wind. You know, like, I think if he wouldn't have landed that body shot, I don't think even mentally Manny might have pushed out of the fight.
But if Pacquiao would have went to the body after the knockdown.
Well, it's just the thing with Thurman is that, you know, like I said, that colossal fight where he got caught and it's like, whoa, it's just like, yeah, you see, he doesn't have that poker face, you know, but this is why we talk about Floyd. This is why I talk about Floyd. Floyd had, you know, one of the best poker faces in the game.
Yeah. You know, I think Manny Pacquiao had a great poker face as well.
Yeah, Manny's really good,
you know, too. Except when he's on the canvas, but.
But even still, like I said, you know, you think of the Marquez fight, the fourth one, you know. When he got put down by Marquez the first time, and then he's back up right away.
Yeah.
You need that. And that's what they learn is you become a veteran fighter. You got to sell a lot of the fight, too.
Well, you know? Thurman also... Like this way, go on.
Yeah, but like when people complain about, of course, you know, the first Bradley-Pacquiao fight and everything, but Bradley could really sell punches. Like he always looked like he was throwing major shots, and he didn't have a lot of power. But it always looked like he was throwing these massive bombs, and that's because he knew how to sell his punches.
That's a real good reference there, because I think one of the reasons why Timothy Bradley was so successful is because he knew how to look like he won exchanges, even if he didn't. And I've always been, you know, I like Timothy Bradley. I think he had a great career, and I think he accomplished way more than he really should have, because I don't think, like, as a fighter, Timothy Bradley was that good. But what made him really successful was like, oh, if you throw punches, I'll just make sure I land the last one. And I'll just keep my arms moving the whole time. And so when we walk away, I landed the last punch. It looks like I landed more than you. That's really all it came down to with Timothy Bradley. And that's why I think he may have convinced the judges, at least, that he beat Manny Pacquiao, when the reality is we know he didn't beat Pacquiao.
But that's what he looked like he was in that fight, so... Yeah, Bradley knew how to sell it.
It's probably why he got the decision against Provodnikov, but that's a story for another day. Yeah. Manny Pacquiao, to me, like, when I look at this now, I think this was the perfect result for this fight. I mean, he puts Keith Thurman down, so he reminds everyone, oh, the power is still there. He did land some big shots. He hurt Thurman late, but he's still, I think, if you're part of Team Pacquiao, you walk away from this and it's like, oh, we may have won the fight, but we see that we're losing the war against aging. And this might be the perfect time to get out. What do you think?
I don't know. I could see him maybe not getting out, but I think he likes the fight now.
Well, I mean, I think he's not leaving.
Yeah, but like I said, I could see it if he'll probably see what he feels. Because like I said, he was taking some big shots, carried it well.
Just egregious ones that he got hit with, don't you think?
Yeah. He was taking some big shots in those Thurman rounds. You know, he was taking some big punches.
He was getting hit with jabs that he was not even, like, he had no clue they were coming.
Thurman's getting some clean shots in on him. But that's it again, you know, Manny.
You think Manny has a shot against Spence?
I think Spence will win it. I don't think Spence will blow him out or anything.
Oh.
You know.
But really? Say more.
It just depends, you know, because this is it. Spence is going to be wary. It's all about the Mikey fight. You know, Spence knew what Mikey wanted to do, and he wasn't going to give it to him. He always made sure that he stuck to his game plan. Or told Mikey was, like, really tired before he started to tee off on him. You know, so he's not going to come stomping in on Pacquiao. He's obviously, if they do this fight, he saw what he did to Thurman, so he's going to be like, yeah, I'm not going to give this to him. I'm going to fight in this style. So, like I said, I think Thurman, Spence beats him, but the way Spence will try not to get beat by Manny and not blow him out of the water, you know.
It's interesting because I had a conversation today with somebody about Spence Mikey, and the conversation was basically like, why didn't Spence stop him? And I think he was trying to make the controversial hot take that Spence isn't that good. And my response was like, I don't think Spence intended to go there to knock out Manny or to Mikey Garcia. I think he was totally fine if it happened, but he also came in with the intention to box and win a fight any way he can. And it didn't involve him straying from the game plan and getting reckless. He needed to. He had more to lose in that fight.
That's what I was saying. Spence, he said, there were times where he could have pushed Mikey early on, but he didn't, because he's like, well, no, we don't want to do that. So he would just sort of sit back and he'd go back to what Mikey. They always, like, he took Mikey seriously. Like, it's not like, oh, this guy, he has no chance. He took Mikey seriously and he treated him with respect. You know, and he's like, I'm going to box this guy and I'm going to show that he's completely wrong. He didn't see nothing. So they weren't going to give Mikey anything.
Well, and I think he's the one who had the most to lose there. And I think even with the Pacquiao fight, it's the same thing. Spence is the one with everything to lose.
Yeah, well, especially now. Yeah. With Pacquiao beating Thurman. That's it. See, that's why I thought this fight, this is exciting. Because it's like Thurman should beat a 40-year-old Pacquiao. That the way Thurman sort of is, he might not. So that's why I was looking forward to this fight.
Do you think that Pacquiao turned back the clock on this fight? Or do you think he fooled a lot of casual fans? Because I'm seeing this in the post-fight thread. There's comments like, oh, he turned back the clock, blah, blah, blah. Do you think that's the case?
It's going to be the insufferable Pacquiao fan. I was goofing on though earlier because remember, you know, when he was 36, he was too old to beat Floyd. Oh, yeah, he turned back the clock. Oh, you mean so? The older fighter. Yeah, I don't think he turned back the clock. I think he was able to catch Thurman, who wasn't used for these. Like I said, Floyd talked about Manny. He says Manny's got a lot of traps, and he wasn't going to fall into any. And I don't think Thurman understood until later exactly the traps he was falling in with Manny.
Hindsight. Thurman was a pretty, like, favorable opponent for Manny Pacquiao. Like, obviously, there's no, like, better matchup for Pacquiao than Adrian Broner. But Thurman was just, like, defensively irresponsible enough for Manny Pacquiao to exploit. And, like, Thurman is an interesting fighter because he could hurt people. And he has an athletic style that if you're not ready for it, it can definitely, like, he can definitely run away with a fight. But hindsight's 20/20. So we look back at Keith Thurman. It's like, okay, you had a close fight with Danny Garcia. You had a close fight with Sean Porter. When you fight good fighters, it seems like you can't clearly dominate a fight. And this showed again. But this time he wasn't so lucky. He could not dominate a fight with Manny Pacquiao.
And we've seen that with Thurman when he stopped being one time. You know, like, I don't know if it was injuries that started to catch up to him or what. But, like, he's tried to box more. And he always tried to spin it off, like, no, I'm trying to show him more cerebral and everything. But I think he's, you know, probably started to get injured a bit, and he didn't want to take those beatings like he was taking. Because he used to be able to sit down his punches and blow guys apart.
I mean, this is the point I make about Pacquiao a lot. When you become a more orthodox fighter, you lose what made you special before. And I think Pacquiao, stop knocking guys out, when he stopped being like that, just like all energy, throwing punches, like off balance, loading up all the time. When he stopped doing that and he started to box more, he became a very good boxer. And you saw it in this fight. You saw it against Adrian Broner. Pacquiao's a really good boxer now. But he lost that edge, whatever that edge was in the past. And for Keith Thurman, same thing. He's in here trying to box. I definitely think after the Sean Porter fight, he's like, never again. I'm not going to do this ever again. And he's looked pedestrian in terms of like being dangerous in the ring. Like, obviously he can outbox guys, but he's not going to knock anybody out now. And that without doing that, how was he able to get Manny Pacquiao's respect? He wasn't able to.
Yeah, when you don't have your aura, you know, you need that sort of aura about you. A guy doesn't want to test you. And, you know, Manny obviously showed he wasn't scared of testing Thurman at all in this fight. Shots later, like, he regrouped on those and everything.
Let me ask you this question, okay? Who landed the biggest punches in the fight?
I'd have to say probably Thurman. You know, he landed the big eye-catching clear shots, you know. I think of the biggest shots, I think Thurman actually did land, you know, like overall.
I agree with you. I think Thurman landed the biggest shots, but I just looked at one of the comments in the post-fight thread, and it's like, Manny Pacquiao clearly landed the big shots in the fight. What do you think that person was watching?
They're probably a Pacquiao fan, you know. You can't, you know, especially fans. I don't fault them when you're a fan, but it's really tough to not, to move your fandom out when you're watching a fight and assess these things. Like, that's why, you know, matchmakers are the most genius of them all, because they can lick boxers and still be able to pick them apart. You know, because they don't allow that analytical part of their brain to be swayed by emotion. So in this fight, yeah, in the start, Manny had a lot of good shots, but Thurman was landing those big shots. Like, he was landing those clean shots on Manny a lot of times, the bigger shots. Manny just wrote it out, though. So.
Do you think maybe that, I mean, in terms of the way it visually looked, I agree Keith Thurman landed the biggest shots, but in terms of the shots that actually had real impact in terms of slowing the other guy down, is it possible that because of the injuries, and I talked about this a lot in the past, that Keith Thurman's injuries have come are to joints and parts of his body that he needs to punch, like his elbow. And an injured elbow is going to have massive effects on what you put on your punches. And furthermore, Keith Thurman is an unorthodox fighter, and if you watch clips of him training, he's a little unorthodox, and I think that also takes an impact, because you're not hitting in the most, like, the, you know, the way that everyone's hit or is trained to hit, because that's the safest way to hit. Keith Thurman's not doing that, putting a toll on his body. And you think maybe it's possible that Manny did land the more significant punches due to Keith's injuries?
I wouldn't say it's the injury, because look, at everyone gets injured in boxing. You know, when you start hit 30, that's when you know the toll starts to really kick in, and that's where it really becomes the skill really takes over in a lot of boxers. You don't have what you did it when you're starting to come up. It's kind of weird lately, because a lot of fighters aren't really developing like they used to. Like, now they're hitting around with the mid 20s and 27s, where there was the era where most guys are like 19 or 20 or even 21, around that area where they're really starting to take their big fights, you know. So by the time you get into your 30s, everybody's injured. So I'm not going to say, well, Thurman, just because of this, the injury. It's like, well, this is the game, you know. You're going to get injured in boxing. Everyone does it. Floyd's brittle hands. It's like, well, everyone breaks their hands in boxing. You know, Lennox Lewis broke his hands. Is he brittle hands? No, it's just, that's what happens. You know, the longer you keep going on, that's why it's like, the guys like Pacquiao now has, you know, shown that he can still compete at this age. But like Floyd, Bernard, this is where the skill really comes out.
Yeah.
Fighters like your Roy Jones, this is where they fall apart. You know, when you start getting into your 30s, because your reflexes aren't there anymore. So it's got to be more about timing and thinking and a lot of strategy. That's the thing about Floyd, is that they go, oh, he's going to come back. I don't think Floyd is. He's done. He knows he's done. So he walked away because he knows it. He knows he can beat McGregor, but he wasn't going to rematch Manny. So because he's a box, you know, he's old. He's been take a lot of rounds. And same as Manny, This is why Matty saw Thurman. He didn't fight Spence, you know. He didn't want Spence's heat like right now. I hope they make that fight, but
do you think it's likely that they'll do a rematch next?
No. I don't think there's a need to do a rematch.
I don't think so either, but in the post-fight thread, people seem to be interested in it.
I'm not.
Why? I'm not either. I think it was pretty decisive. I think Keith Thurman, to me, well, let me ask you this before we get to that. What do you think is the reason, like, if you're Keith Thurman, you got to sit him down and objectively tell him, listen, we have to have a heart-to-heart here. I'm going to tell you why you lost this fight. What do you tell him?
That's a hard thing. Because, yeah, you saw the best and worst of Thurman, you know, in the fight. So he got tricked in the first half, and he sort of came on in the second. So it'd be a tough fight to really say, what did we do wrong, other than the experience of Manny got him. Like, he fell for Manny's traps. And that's so now he's sort of, well, yeah, I don't know. Question, because he didn't really get definitively destroyed. You know, if the fight would have kept going the way it was in those first early rounds, then you could say clearly, you know, but because Thurman did come back and started to have success, you know, it's like he's got the pieces there. But I don't want to see a rematch because look at all the fighters they got.
True.
I'm left. Why waste it on a fight we just saw? I hate rematches when they're not necessary.
Yeah.
I don't see them. I want to see guys fight new dudes.
I agree with that. I would probably say, like, look, defensively, we were really bad in this fight. And, like, obviously, it has to be taken, everything's got to be taken with a grain of salt, because we're kind of approaching this, like, from a doom and gloom perspective, because, you know, obviously, we both thought coming into this fight, Keith Thurman should have won. And he didn't. But the reality is, if you look at this fight, it was a very close fight. There's no shame in Thurman didn't getting the decision. He was one round away from this being a completely different outcome. You know, coming out of the Ward-Kovalev fight, I thought Andre Ward won that fight. I thought 114-113, that's exactly what I have. I don't think I've ever asked you for your card on that or how you felt about it, but I can guess. But if you were a Sergey Kovalev fan, there was no need to feel like, oh, you know, this is disgusting and it's a robbery and blah, blah, blah. Because it's like, no, Kovalev could easily win a rematch and put himself in a position that he would not be in today if he had won the fight, you know, coming back and winning that rematch. And Thurman is in the same spot where it's like, you know, you lost a fight, but barely. You don't have to, like, this, your career isn't over. Like, Keith Thurman didn't look like a horrible fighter that nobody ever wants to see again, you know, like Adrian Broner. But defensively, yeah, he was bad. Sure.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Why do you think there are so many comments in the post-fight thread talking about Keith Thurman being well-spoken? I'm not even kidding you. Like, if you go to the post-fight thread and just press Control F, well-spoken, like, you see a bunch of comments. Like, people are, like, just, like, enamored with talking about the way Keith Thurman speaks.
What are they, surprised that a black man can speak clearly or something? Because, yeah. You know, there were guys in the threads just going off on Deontay Wilder. Oh, this guy can't even talk. He's from fucking Alabama, dude.
He's from Alabama. Okay. Like, what do you expect? And shout out to all you people from Alabama who listen. But sorry, like, you guys got a reputation, like, outside of your state.
No, I'm not saying. No, I'm not saying that way. See, he's Alabama.
At least you got Roll Tide.
No, because he's gonna have a thick accent. He's gonna have a way of talking that they grew up down there.
Well, and I think Deontay tries to talk in a way, and like, you can just, if you listen to Deontay talk, like, he's like whimsical and he's like tries to be like deep and rhyme and stuff, and like, it's kind of hard to come flowery. Up with that stuff on. He's trying to be deep. He's trying to be, what did you say? He's trying to be what?
Flowery.
Yeah, you but know, that's like, not easy to come up with on the spot.
You know.
And at the end of the day, like, I don't want my fighter to talk like they have a college degree, okay? Because if they do, I would be like, I feel bad. You should probably be doing a job that pays less, but, you know, you don't get punched in the head.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're just ruining it. Yeah, no, I don't know what they do. I think a lot of that's racism about Thurman, you know, but he is well-spoken. Like, I think it's
maybe... Oh, God, here we go. You're just going to join in with them and just talk about how Keith Thurman's well-spoken. Honestly, like...
I was going to say something.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I trust him around my silverware, so I don't know. But that's what these people come off as. Like, ooh, I don't have to clutch my purse near. He's so well-spoken. No, I think if to give some of the people the benefit of the doubt, I think it's because he lost and he said clearly, he's like, yeah, and then, you know, I give all the credit to Manny. Like, you know, that's it. So that's what they want to hear.
But this is ridiculous to me. And if you're somebody who feels this way, like, I think you're just... Like, dude, let's think about something, okay? Before the fight, people were hating on Thurman for either you are a hippie who plays the flute, who goes on these trips to Asia. You are a hippie. Weren't people, like, upset about that? Just clowning him for that?
Yeah, I think so.
And then they were like, why is this guy talking so much? He's shook. He's... Why is he bragging? Why is he talking about putting Manny, like, you know, retiring him, all this stuff? And now it's like, oh, he's well-spoken. Like, come on. Which was the real you? You know, just like we were talking about to start the podcast. Oh, you think Glenn Feldman's a good judge because he scored Golovkin over Canelo. Well, you know what? He just scored Keith Thurman over Pacquiao. And what there's to get there, the takeaway, is like, this stuff is not consistent.
Judges this card had a perfect example of that in the Discord, where the second fight where Robert Byrd stopped the fight and people are complaining, or not, Jane Addy stopped the fight. They're complaining about the stoppage. And then the next fight is like, why aren't they stopping this Figueroa fight? It's like, oh, God, guys.
I mean, you can't win.
Oh, just people just want to gripe, you know?
That's really what it is. And that's something that is just kind of like, it's just terrible. It's like, so many boxing fans, they just look for things to not like.
Yeah, they got to really get over that part.
Like, come on, yeah. Just enjoy it. Like I said, like, I enjoy this.
This is why I like that Fox crew. Everyone's having fun. Like, the especially the Caleb Plant portion of the card. Those guys are just cracking themselves up, you know?
When they first opened the card up, I started laughing because they were making fun of Ray Mancini. I don't know if you heard it, but Chris Myers and Deontay Wilder were making fun of Ray Mancini. They're clowning him. Just yeah, start the card. I was like, oh, this is good.
That 1996 picture, what Deontay looked like.
Yeah.
And you then when Manny started boxing, then they showed a live picture of Mancini.
But they were like, Mancini in 1995, and they showed him right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and they also made something about like him looking 10 years old or something. I don't know. But
yeah,
it was good.
They're having fun.
And that's, I didn't get to hear the commentary. So
yeah, that's why.
Any good highlights from the commentary?
I thought it was good. Everyone seemed to be having fun. You know, I don't have a problem with them. Like I said, especially when Goose and Lennox are going, I think they're good. I really like these guys. You know, Kenny Albert, I don't know. Like I saw there are people still crying about wanting to hear HBO. It's like, why? Like Lampley was so bad in the last few years. Like it's like he was calling phantom punches and the crying. And he was so like, sure. Like, like I said, he had a great voice. He's like, what the hell? It's no, I don't want that. I don't need the Max being bombastic. I'd rather have the way I like these Fox guys. Everyone's having fun. They're watching boxing, you know. And I don't need every single punch called for me because I'm not listening on radio. I'm watching on TV.
Yes.
I don't need it. So I could take that when it comes or leaves, you know. I don't know. I had fun. I thought it was a great card. I think Fox has got to be over the fucking moon now.
Why is that?
Because they got this second event, you know, with Manny. Man, Showtime had the first one. But this is a bit of a gamble, and it seemed to be successful, you know. The MGM looked like it was pretty packed there.
It was a sellout.
Complete sellout.
It was
packed. Well, yeah, but they always move that number. You know,
I think it was well over 14,000.
They probably hit 15 or something, maybe. You never know.
And but you can just tell from the shots. Of the crowd is like
yeah wow. Yeah yeah like I said that is but it's you know he's I think 16,000 or just over 16,000 tops out or yeah. Maybe 17 whatever
yeah
depends on configuration. I think they ate up a lot of space with their setups and everything.
They might have had a bigger press section than usual. I mean, I've been to the Grand Garden and that looks sold out to me, and I would know if they were trying to do one of those, like, you know, we're not quite showing all the sections. They were just pretty clear with their camera angles and I was like, oh yeah, that's that section. I know that place. That is sold out.
If theory, they didn't even bother selling the upper deck here. Here, I think the one side of the deck was shut off because that's where they had their upper press, their upper booth where they had the fighters sitting there.
Yeah.
They had Chris Myers. I think that's where they had it up there. So, yeah, so they did good. And I think this is great for them because, like I said, you can tell the ads. Like I said, again, when they had UFC, UFC was in control of everything. You know, even though Fox had their thing, UFC, it was UFC's message, UFC's this. Now Fox, they you know, they're getting the distributor chunk out of these fights. You know, they're getting a piece of the action. They're getting the fights they want. And like I said, this is right now. It's like Spence should beat Thurman, or Spence should beat Porter. Get Manny to take a Spence fight, which I don't know if Manny will, but if they can do that next year, you know, that's going to be huge.
For sure.
You know. But yeah, so it's Fox. Fox seems like they're like I said, they're paying a third of what they're paying for the UFC. They all seem to be having fun. They you know, they're putting their shows together. They're getting the fighters in on all the action.
And the ratings are close enough that
compared to spending $200 million and you're spending 60, like you know, approximately. It's like, yeah, you don't mind if maybe there's 100,000 people that aren't registering if you're getting them on your app or something.
Right. So like
I'm sweating the Nielsen that much when you're pretty comparable ratings and
you're bringing in the pay-per-view revenue that you weren't before. You know,
that's why Spence Porter's doing pay-per-view again, dude. You know?
What was the split that Fox got from the UFC's pay-per-view?
Nothing. Fuck all.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if you're like, oh, well, why do they keep putting these pay-per-views on? It's like, well, there's an incentive. You know, even a modest pay-per-view still generates money for Fox, and it still provides a return on their investment. You know, at this point in 2019, with the across these two pay-per-views that Fox has done, they may have made back all their money that they spent on acquiring the rights to air PBC boxing.
You never know how it breaks down, so... But they're always have fun. They get to tie in all the properties and like, and they saw it. You saw it tonight that they have that Fox bets. This is their other thing they want to start doing because sports, you know, betting is becoming legal in more states. They're going to have their own betting platform, which I would start to see whenever they get it going. They're going to integrate this into all their coverage. You know,
Fox so, bets. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I can't remember where it was. Like one of the fights or one of their rounds was presented by Fox bets, you know, that's something they're going to work on in the future, especially with their football coverage. You know, they're going to start getting betting through their own apps and everything.
Wow, that's ingenious of them.
Yeah, I know. But even though sports betting, like the actual money you make off sports betting is very low, like the actual profit, you know, on there, but you get a lot of money. But it's still another reason for people to tune into your platform.
I was just about to say, any way you can get people a little more invested in the product, that's smart, because there's nothing like having money on a game to have you be invested in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's like I said again. I said it before. I think to me, everybody seems to be really into it. You know, where you saw in some of those HBO years, they were not happy with what cars they were calling.
I mean, and even right now, it looks like DAZN starting to experience that level of unhappiness that HBO had with their fights and the fights that they're not able to put on that they would hope to put on.
Yeah. Like I said, that's why I like Sergio Mora and his guy, because they seem to be having the most fun.
Sergio Mora and I think that other guy, I think Todd Grisham, are really good on commentary. But when they bring Brian Kenny and Chris Mannix, it just falls apart. Like, Chris Mannix is terrible on commentary, and Sergio Mora hates him.
Yeah, we talked about that before. Some people say, oh, they're just playing up as a joke, and I don't know if they think it's not coming across that way.
No, it's not a joke.
They sound like a, yeah. And it's such a change in tone.
You
like,
can hear the tension.
Yeah. You know, like they move Sean Porter in on commentary. Joe Goosen had to go take care of Lipinets.
Sean was so good.
Yeah, and he fit right in, you know, and they're having fun. They're making jokes. These guys like each other. You know, like I said, again, everyone wants to, you know, they're so in love with HBO, of course, because, you know, Lampley, when you hear his voice for so long, you get conditioned on that. Max, I think, was reverential towards Lampley, but a lot of times I think he wanted to replace him all the time.
You know? Max especially tried to do play-by-play, and he was terrible.
No, but I think once Max,
especially once Kovalev and Stevenson, look it up. He was terrible.
Yeah. But when he got the first take money, just imagine it. But it sort of seemed like he wasn't as respectful towards Lampley anymore. Because things like, I'm making real money now. I don't give two shits about this. You know?
Yeah. I'm doing this as a hobby.
Yeah.
What did you think about Keith Thurman breaking his nose? It looked like he broke his nose. I don't know for sure. I'm not a doctor. But I think that was early
in
the fight.
That would seem that he got his nose broken.
And that would explain, like the fight comes together, I think, in the summary of the fight. It really makes, it really all adds up. You know, Thurman got dropped in the first round. Yeah. Okay. But Thurman was okay. He recovers. He breaks his nose. And then when he got hurt to the body, he had to breathe. But he couldn't breathe with the mouthpiece in. And he obviously couldn't breathe out of his nose because it was full of blood.
Yeah.
And I think there was like a level of panic that set in for Thurman in that round, which would explain like the optics and how it looked when it's like, well, Thurman seems to be in pain in the ring. I've never really seen a guy like act like this in the ring, except for guys who are on the floor, you know, recoiling from a vicious body shot, which occasionally happens, but isn't that common. Or, you know, a Fernando Montiel moment where they have a seizure on the floor while they have just been knocked down.
Well, it happened to Payano. He went down on the body shot, so he was done. Yeah, like I said, like when you asked earlier who had the biggest shots, to me that's still Thurman. But Manny had he had impactful combinations. Yes. You know, like his moments, they weren't the biggest shots, but he strung them together, and he had Thurman on the run to start. Like, yeah, Thurman, I can't remember which round it was, but he's come back to the corner and he looks so dejected and he's blazing so bloody and everything, and he did not look like he was having a good time.
Yeah.
So the nose happens, but that's it. You know, it's boxing. You know, the nose, well, don't get it on the nose.
Do you think that this is the same Thurman that beat Danny Garcia?
I think it is.
Really? You think that the layoff and the injuries didn't really have much of an impact on the Thurman that we saw in the ring?
No, I think this is the same Keith Thurman. What fight was it where he made the change?
In terms of, like,
I think Collazo was the one where he first, like, he wasn't being one time anymore. I think the Collazo fight.
I would go back and say it was the Zavik fight, which is like his third fight on HBO. He had Laura, Quintana, and I think Zavik was his third fight on HBO. Let me look this up.
Oh, I'd have to look up. Yeah. But see, I don't think he looked any different. He looked a lot better than the Josecito Lopez fight.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think
is there something wrong with me? I remembered like the fights exactly in order.
Yeah, there is something wrong with you. You can remember all this stuff. I just make this shit up. So.
Jeez, I feel bad for myself. well. But like in the Zavik fight, which that's his third fight, like that was a fight where he wasn't one time, he didn't score the knockout, he had a shutout win over Zavik, but it just looks super flat. His next fight with Diego Chavez, 10 rounds.
Yeah, the Chavez fight is the one I think I can clearly remember. That's where he sort of he didn't seem to be the same type of dude.
Well, he also, I think that was the fight where he got hurt to the body.
Yeah, and like I said, again, that's what showed up tonight. When he gets cracked right, of course not. They're massively hurt, but he doesn't have a game face for those moments. Sort of like when Amir Khan gets, you know, wobbled. He has no game face.
Right. Well, he stumbles everything around. Gets overridden. He's got no. He gets no legs.
Yeah, he gets Bambi legs.
I mean,
but like I said, I'm not going to say, oh, this is the layoff, this is the injuries or anything. This is boxing, you know. I think he put up a great fight. You know, he got caught by Manny Pacquiao.
This is really tough, you know, because I want to say that this was not the same Keith Thurman, but like, I think it's only safe to say that in terms of the athleticism and the reflexes, in the physical sense, this was not the same Keith Thurman. I think clearly age and injuries had some role there, but not as big as you would think. Like, it's not enough to explain why this fight went the way it did. I think at the end of the day, Keith Thurman really showed the worst of Keith Thurman in this fight. And, you know, that's also been, you know, some of the some of these things are why Thurman was so good early on in his career, but like the worst parts of Thurman reared their head here. And it was, there was no chance Thurman had against Pacquiao, who was going to fight using all the ring IQ that he's accumulated over the years. So you think that there's no chance Floyd comes back?
I don't feel it. I don't see any reason why he would, you know.
You don't think he'd want to come back to whoop on Pacquiao?
No, in my take on it, and I'm the guy who knew he was going to fight Pacquiao and knew he was going to fight McGregor. Tell by the way Floyd starts to gear up for a fight, the way he starts putting things out on social media. Because it's different from when his just usual, I'm still here, things on social media that he likes to do. Come and he's going to do a fight. He takes a totally different tone. I really don't think. I think Floyd knows that he's old, and Floyd knows that he can't do it, boxer anymore, and he doesn't want. He does not want to risk it. Like, he made it through the sport, you know. And I think, especially like the way Rogers has like gone so far downhill, you know. I think, you know, he's got a constant reminder about what could happen to you, and I think he's like, I made it through. Like over $600 million in his last two fights, or like not counting the Berto fight or anything, but it's the last two big ones. It's like, why, you know?
So do these wins for Manny elevate Floyd's standing in the grand scheme of things?
Well, it
because I'm seeing a lot of comments where like, oh, well, Manny Pacquiao is a top three fighter of all time. Or if Manny beats Spence, he's a top three fighter all time. And it's like, okay, but Floyd like beat him and beat him like in every facet imaginable. He didn't knock him out, but he was a guy that completely neutralized Manny Pacquiao, which Marquez was never able to neutralize him. Marquez was only able to just at least raise the fire as much as Pacquiao's fire was, but never neutralize him in the sense that Pacquiao lost. Although, you know, if you're smart, you know that Marquez won the third fight, but, you know, we're not going to get into that. But do you think it elevates Floyd that Manny Pacquiao comes in against Keith Thurman and wins a decision?
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm always going to be on Floyd's side. And I was trolling the Pacquiao fans earlier because, you know, they broke out that, well, Floyd waited for Manny to get old.
Even though Manny's like, there's like
40.
A year, yeah, they're a year apart.
Just 2 years. Floyd's 2 years older than him.
Oh, yeah. But no, I need to Google that. Floyd is born in 1977. Manny Pacquiao is born in 1978.
Yeah,
but the months are like, yeah, kind of far apart. But still, he waited for him to get old. Except Floyd was older.
Floyd is 38, and Manny was 36.
So
I was goofing on that. So yeah, so Manny at 36 was too old to beat Floyd, but now at 40 you can beat a 30-year-old welter. So of course, so that's why, just like with the Glenn Feldman thing, all these people, they're gonna have to start just checking all their logistical math they've been doing. So yeah, so of course this is what, you know, even Joe Goosen even self-corrected himself, because he says, you know, if Manny can win, you know, he thinks Manny's one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest fight of all time. But then he said, later, he goes, well, when they showed Floyd, he goes, well, in my opinion, Floyd is the greatest fighter of all time. Shaping you from a guy like Goose.
That's why people didn't like the commentary. They're like, nope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course. You know, like I said, especially the way Floyd beat Manny. Like, Floyd didn't make the mistakes that Keith Thurman showed that Manny gets you with.
I think in that fight, Floyd might have only made one mistake the whole fight.
Which is saying a lot. He's fighting, you know, the second best fighter of that whole entire generation.
And the crazy thing is, yeah, like, Pacquiao fought a good fight against Floyd. Like,
That
Pacquiao that fought Floyd, like, that guy has a chance against Spence. Like, Pacquiao was pretty brilliant. It was just that Floyd was like he really no-sold everything. And that takes immense skill.
Yeah, and that's why I hated, especially with some of those MMA guys that were at the fight, you know, those who are now have jobs as fight analysts and all this stuff. They said, that's a horrible fight, and it was boring and everything. That was a high level. Both those guys were not falling for each other's traps.
Yeah, it was trap.
It was brilliant combat, you know, and that's what you saw tonight. Thurman, in those first five rounds, you know, or so, except for, you know, he was okay in a couple spots, except for the first two rounds, he was falling for every trap that Manny was setting for him.
Yeah, and Thurman definitely got better as the fight went on. what do you think about the enjoyment factor of this fight? Because I think Mike Coppinger might have tweeted this out. Maybe I'm misremembering it. But I looked at my phone and I saw, and he said something like, this was like the fight of the year. Yeah, yeah. He said, there's your 2019 fight of the year thus far. Unbelievable action and skill on display from bell to bell. The knockdown, the difference on my card. Pacquiao 114-113.
Yeah, but see, this is why I don't fall into that fight of the year stuff, because then you sort of diminish a lot of other great fights. Like the Jamal James, what's his name fight there from last week? That was a great fight. You know, Ray Mancini's like, this is fight of the year. It's like, well, I don't know. A lot of fights. There's a lot of great fights. And I think boxing, I think instead of just saying this is the fight of the year, you should just say, wow, we get a lot of great fights, because everybody pisses and moans that we're not getting great fights. And we are, especially this year. You know, we're going to get more. You know, last year was great. You know, it's just, it was a really great fight. I thought this was a really great fight, because I said, especially if it might have been more of a moment if Pacquiao would have like really shut him down. But I think because Thurman did come back, it shows it was a really great fight. You know, really, really, really back and forth action, and that's what you that's entertaining. You know, especially when this high sort of level.
Now, for you personally, like, did you think this was a really good fight?
Oh, I'm saying, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I think it was a great fight. I enjoyed it. I loved it. You know,
I did think this was a good fight, and I thought it had potential to not be a good fight, because I was like, okay, if Keith moves, Manny's just gonna get frustrated. And he's going to, like, telegraph his punches. Keith Thurman's going to know they're coming, and he's not going to try to counter them so much. Or if he does, Manny's good enough that he's going to avoid the counters. And we're going to have basically both guys, like, just following each other for 12 rounds. That was, like, my suspicion.
Like a fight that was sort of more like the sixth round, eh? I think that's what people were thinking, but not as much action. You know, they thought Thurman's probably going to get on his bike and pick his spots and just wheel away from Manny.
Well, that was a smart thing. I mean, there for several rounds, it looked like Thurman figured out the distance and Manny was just screwed. Manny just kept blocking into punches. Thurman was just peppering him. It was like a clean work for Thurman. And then he just stopped and he let Pacquiao get back inside. And every time Pacquiao got within range, Manny Pacquiao, one of the best fighters perhaps of all time at fighting, just right there at that mid-range in the pocket. Because he's got those little short arms and stuff. He's just so fast. He just tagged Thurman. There was nothing Thurman can do.
Yeah, that's why it was a great take. Like I said, I'm repeating myself. I said, that's why I don't like fight of the year. Because then everybody wants to defend their calls. This is a fight of the year. You know, it's a great fight. There's a ton of great fights. Enjoy them all.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really care for a fight of the year. Especially because there's just so much boxing. Like, I will forget about this in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Gervonta Davis is going to, I mean, I don't want to joke around since, you know, we had a pretty horrific result in a fight on Friday night, but, you know, Gervonta Davis is going to knock out his opponent next week. And it's like, well, we all forgot about that, or about that Pacquiao Thurman fight, or, you know, Spence Porter might be the next one, but there's just always great fights on.
Like I said, people did that tonight, like I said, with those undercard fights, you know. Lipinets is in there with a guy who only moved up just to save the fight. This guy gets a bit of extra money. Now he's on the main card. Boom. And Lipinets sold. He gets to take the fight because Molina got injured. You know, when he got leveled and that was a fight. Like, he was out. You know, sure he got up, but, you know, J-80 made the right call. He's looking in the guy's eyes. He can tell if they're glassy or whatever. Because a lot of these fighters are so conditioned to just pretend they're not hurt. Their way through it, it's like it's better that, you know, Navy pull him, because he's like, the guy doesn't need this punch, but he's not on Lipinets level. Stopped it too early. It's like he said, I don't know what happened last night, because I was pretty drunk there, so I only remember Teofimo Lopez looking like garbage. But I don't know what happened to that Russian guy or something. He's like brain damaged. What happened?
Do you think that the commentary?
No, I
was...
said no. Seriously, what happened? I don't know what happened last night.
Oh, are you asking injured. Me a question?
Yeah. Who got injured? I was drinking.
So it's still last night, I guess. On the ESPN card, on the undercard, Maxim Dadashev was facing Subriel Matias. So, you know, you have like a 140-pound elimination fight, and both guys, you know, young guys, I guess. And you basically had like your standard two dudes who aren't that good defensively and can't get out of the way of each other's punches, but one guy was just clearly stronger than the other. He was more active. One guy was just clearly worse on defense, and that was Dadashev. And so, like, Dadashev was losing the fight. And to me, I've seen fights where guys get really injured. It didn't look like that. And then probably, like, it was like maybe the seventh or eighth round. To me, and I have a background in the medical field, I noticed, like, and I'm not saying, like, I'm a doctor or something, but I was just like, man, Dadashev looks like his eyes are getting black, which is a bad sign in terms of head trauma. And it looked like he had black eyes, and that's not what you usually see in a boxing ring. Guys' eyes will swell up before they get, like, black eyes. And so, but, you know, I was like, whatever. Or he looks like he hasn't slept in a while, which is also possible. And so then Buddy McGirt had this, like, dramatic stoppage in the corner where he's like, dude, I got to stop this fight. Like, you're taking a lot of punishment. And, like, if you watch it, he's not taking a ton of punishment. It was like Omar Figueroa was taking a similar amount of punishment, which is to say Figueroa wasn't being, like, just battered around the ring, but he was getting hit with punches. And that's Ted Omar Cheeseman Figueroa. Got beat up worse.
Yeah, that's Omar, that's, yeah. Oh, okay, so I see this guy, yeah. Okay.
So he was just getting hit with punches, but, like, you know, not just battered. You know, he did look hurt in the last round.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't take much, so his brain starts to swell and everything, brain bleed.
So there you go. So then McGirt stops it, and then so, like, he's trying to walk down the steps, you know, and he, like, basically collapses. Not, like, collapses to the floor, but, like, his legs, like, just, they just go, and they have to hold him up. So he's just, like, walking with people, and is, like, his legs just keep buckling on him, and then finally he, like, walks down the aisle. And then he turns, I guess, to go to the back. And then they're like, he just can't hold himself up anymore. So, like, yo, bring the gurney, bring the gurney. They bring the gurney over. They sit him on the gurney. And then so dude basically is on the gurney. He's sitting there. They pull him up. And then he just turns to his left and pukes. And then they're like, whoa, he's getting sick here. And then they bring the bucket. And it's like, you just see, like, the brown stain all over the gurney. And he's throwing up. And then you find out later they had to remove a part of his skull because of the subdural hematoma or the swelling or whatever it was in his brain. Although I guess those are the same thing. And so, you know, that's the horrible aspect of the sport.
Well, that's what you get, guys punch each other. But like I said, that's why it's funny. Like, you know, one fight.
Well, I don't know about funny, but let's see where you're going to go with this.
Well.
I'm open.
I'm blue collar. I'm blue collar, baby. So I've seen dudes die. So it's like,
wow.
I'm like Ray Mancini, man. You know, Ray doesn't care. He's like, get in the ring, you pussies.
Hey, do you also have casual racism?
Ray's the best. I was going to say, I was saying the fights where Lipinets cranked this guy. And, like, he looked like he's out on the way down. So Nady says, no, you don't need his punishment. People are like, well, why is Nady? Why is it yearly stoppage? And then the next fight, they're like, why are they stopping Figueroa? Again, same thing. But Omar Figueroa, I guess these guys have never seen a fight. This is what he does. He takes.
He has a hell of a chin.
Figueroa takes ungodly beatings, you know, and he wins. That's how I used to win.
I mean, Omar Figueroa, like, don't you remember what made Figueroa famous? It was the like, ridiculous war that he had with Nihito Arakawa back on Showtime. It like, I remember watching that fight. I'm like, this is not good. How are you guys enjoying this? They're just punching each other in the face. Like, there's no skill going on here. Like, Omar Figueroa's defense is to just look the other way. If you notice that, he just looks the other way.
Yeah, he turns his head to the right.
And it's like, okay, well, you know, you just got hit. Like, maybe you rolled it a little, but, like, not enough that I'm going to sit here and say, like, oh, yeah, you're good. You're good.
Shout out Omar Figueroa's sister, though.
Oh, wow.
Well, wow. Where'd that come from?
Wow. But, you know, there's just such an inconsistency with fans, and there's, like, no way to win. And, like, it's much easier to enjoy the sport when you just ignore all that stuff, because you're just never going to get a consistent, like, belief or reaction from fans. But I mean, it was really terrible on Friday, by the way. Just, like, it was really hard to watch what was happening, because like I don't know, I knew immediately when he buckled, like, on the way down. I'm like, oh, this is so bad. This is really bad.
He's just like Stevenson, you know, like
same things.
Vomiting after head trauma. And like, that's what it is. Like, this is controlled head trauma boxing, like vomiting after horrible sign. And I mean, the worst part, they were like, you know, his wife doesn't know. She's in Russia right now.
Yeah, well, it's the fight.
His wife doesn't know that he's dead. Oh, this is a great content.
Oh my God. That's what ESPN was saying. ESPN was like, keep that camera on him. We need to see him vomit some more.
Can't wait to talk about this on First Take.
Yeah. Well, they had Skip on the broadcast. And hilariously enough, his mic wasn't on, so the dude just talked.
He got the most amateur treatment out of anybody on the whole fucking broadcast. They gave him a mic that didn't work. That shit was funny as fuck.
They should have just kept it that way.
Do you think it's possible that Manny Pacquiao waited till Keith Thurman was old and out of his prime?
Yes. That's my first take on that.
I just waited. Saw your comment and I was like, oh, this is a good one for Fred. He's really trolling here.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's it. I fight Thurman 5 years ago.
Was it an incredible flex by PBC to have all four heavyweight titles up on the table when they interviewed Wilder and Andy Ruiz?
Well, that's it. This is what the benefit of having these assigned with PBC, because they can move back and forth between Showtime and Fox, you know, and no one gets up in arms about it. True. Not openly anyway, you know. So yeah, no, it worked great.
Yeah,
you know that's the thing. People want to talk about I don't know, PBC being bad, but right now we're seeing why this whole PBC thing is great. Because all these fighters are hanging out, even though, you know, they might not like each other, but they're relating to each other. They know they're all going to get paid. Not a lot of animosity between them. You know, like even Spence and Porter. You know, Spence will take shots at him.
Because Pacquiao is like actually getting paid to be in relevant fights instead of fighting and fucking Kyrgyzstan on ESPN.
Well, yeah, this is exactly it. Look, last year Pacquiao's fighting in Malaysia on ESPN Plus
for he's $4 million or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And now he signs up with Heyman, and he's had two back-to-back pay-per-views, and now he's had a fight where he's like, he can say, even if he doesn't come back or if he continues, he goes, I had another amazing moment in his career.
I mean, Manny Pacquiao is now going to find himself on the list of highest paid athletes at the end of the year, don't you think? Especially if he fights one more time this year.
Yeah. Well, he said he probably won't be fighting again this year. Probably.
I don't think so either. I don't buy that. I think he'll be back in January or even later than that if they go with the Spence fight, which I don't think that they will, but I think it's possible. Like, what do you do with Pacquiao if he wants to keep fighting and you can't have him fight Floyd? What is there for him to do? Mikey?
Yeah, it's like, I don't see how a Mikey fight sells, you know? Because Mikey got, it'll sell. Mikey showed that, you know, he got beat by Spence, so it's kind of weird.
Well, Mikey is closer to Pacquiao's size.
Yeah, but it'll look like if he can, if Manny can beat up Keith Thurman, then what challenge does Mikey pose for him? Manny just took out one of the welterweight champions, people had ranked up there. You know, it'd be kind of a weird sell, and I never understood that before the fight, because that's like, you know, if Manny gets by Thurman, then you're just gonna downgrade him. You know,
do you think Amir
it might be
if Sergio Martinez could beat up Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., why would we want to see Canelo fight him? A million people did. Fucking Manny versus the Mexican. They're going to sell pay-per-views. Stop being so fucking obtuse.
I mean, that's been one of the surest bets in boxing behind Floyd versus a Mexican.
Yeah, but it's like, that's it. It's going to be, they're going to...
Fred, acting like the fucking casual pay-per-view market for Manny Pacquiao gives a shit about reality. it's called fucking selling that shit to them. Of course they're going to buy that shit. Come on.
Coming in fucking hot.
but I was thinking, like, how many fans, like, who ordered this pay-per-view even care what happened in Mikey's last fight?
Or care about what happened in fucking Australia with Jeff Horn? None of them.
Well,
that's the whole fucking point.
That's because he beat Broner.
Well, I'm thinking like, okay, Manny Pacquiao came to this fight to fight Keith Thurman, who literally, like, the last time he fought, most people remember him, like, nearly on the verge of being stopped. But prior to that, nobody even talked about him because they didn't know he was a professional boxer. So I think it's possible that they could. And look, if Fox wants to do it, I'm not counting them out. They've done a great job in terms of the promotion. Now, we'll see what the results in terms of pay-per-view numbers after this. But just looking at what they've done in their attempt to sell and promote the pay-per-view, they've done a phenomenal job with the Spence pay-per-view and now with the Pacquiao pay-per-view.
And stop this foolishness. You know you can fucking market that shit. It's Manny Pacquiao defending against a Mexican who is a four-division champion who's seeking to become the first five-division champion of Mexican descent. You know they can sell that shit just because, like, some people can tear down the matchup in the boxing world. Doesn't mean that, like, it's not going to be easily sellable. Listen, we're not talking about Amir Khan in 2019 fighting a legit pound-for-pound opponent. We're talking about fucking Mikey Garcia versus Manny Pacquiao. They can sell that shit.
Well, would they have a harder time selling that than they would Amir Khan?
No one's going to fucking buy Amir Khan.
Yeah. Would, like, he work saying, for they Top Rank sell or something?
Mikey, of course. They would want to. Spence gets by Porter. You're going to want the unification. You know, already seen Mikey get, you know, beat by Spence. Pacquiao, you know, that's just a waste. They can sell it, of course, because Manny Pacquiao, now his fans are going to be like, they're going to be worse than ever.
They're back.
You know, because he's got like, yeah, they're back. The other man's back. Like, he's probably not going to hit a million buys. But like I said, I guess Mikey, it'll be interest. But I think if you're talking about the build a showdown fight, because Manny doesn't have many fights left in him tonight. You know, it's not going to last that way forever. You know, he's probably going to start feeling old.
Do you think?
I don't know. Like I said, I think if you can get Manny to take, if they can make the Spence fight, they will make the Spence fight before Mikey.
So,
because I think it'll just be bigger.
Manny signed a 3-fight deal when he came to PBC. So one was Broner, two is Thurman. Now what?
Yeah, that's it. If you only got him for 3 fights, well, you're going to want to have him against a dude that you might be sure that he might be able to beat.
Well, I think it depends. Like, is Manny going to resign?
You want Manny back on the open market.
So if Manny's going to stay with PBC, then I think it's in their interest to give him a fight that he's going to win. But if he's like, I'm thinking of retiring, or maybe I want to go elsewhere, which I doubt. I think he's probably very happy given, you know, he's had 2 pretty successful pay-per-views. But if not, it's like, well, then you fight Spence.
Yeah.
Like,
if he was, like I said, I think I'm just being more realistic about his age. If he was a bit younger, I think they'd go Mikey. If he was another year younger, but he's going to be 41, you know.
So,
but then again, it'll be if he really wants to fight.
What are his best options in order?
Well, his best option would be a Mikey fight, but I'm just saying Mikey would need to do something. But they're talking about Mikey going to fight they're going to the zone, you know?
Well, I said there's a reason why Mikey's next fight hasn't had any real discussion about, or any, like, there's no rumors about his next fight other than, well, we're thinking of the Danny Garcia fight. And I think because they're waiting for this fight's outcome. And if Manny Pacquiao wins this fight, they want to offer it to Mikey.
Yeah, I just don't see Mikey handling Pacquiao.
In terms of beating him or being a reputable, respectable opponent?
Yeah, like I said, I think now Mikey's got that big question mark over his head. It'll, I don't know. I don't want to see another fighter get in the way of Spence behind these belts if he gets past Porter, you know.
Which he is. Let's be real.
This has been Spence's career, sitting there waiting for other guys while everyone moves around ahead of him. You know, it's If they could say, okay, guarantee, if you take the Mikey fight, and Spence probably have to fight Ugas if he beats Porter because that was an eliminator. You know, and then say, okay, well, we'll target for the summer. Okay, then if they can get Manny to commit to that, but yeah.
I think that the best option here is one more fight for Mikey. And if he wins against Mikey, well, then Spence. You got to do Spence then. Or whoever it is. Yeah. Because yeah, at that point, they will Spence will be close to running out of opponents. And the Crawford fight is becoming more realistic and coming more into the to the foreground. And I think if you're PBC, the last bit of leverage, the ultimate bit of leverage that Spence could have over a negotiation or on in the negotiations with Terrence Crawford is, I just beat Manny Pacquiao. You just beat Igis Kavalauskas or whoever. Carlos Adamas. Alexander Besputin. You could have beat all three of them in one night. It still wouldn't even be close to beating a Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, like I said, they got their plans. I don't know anything about them. So,
what about for Thurman? Yeah. Where does he go from here?
No, probably where go play the flute for a while somewhere.
Do you think he's done?
Well, he talked about it. I should retire if I can't beat Manny, but I don't know. I don't know if he will. It'll depend. He's like I said. This is why I said last week. He's a tough one to know where his mind's at. You know, because I think he could walk away from the sport happy right now and just go live his life, you know, just the type of dude he is. You know, he's accomplished a lot more than probably people would have thought. And
he's made a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. He made a lot of money. So
he hasn't made pay-per-view money, but he's made a lot of money for fighting Danny Garcia, Sean Porter. Now he gets his pay-per-view payday from Manny Pacquiao. I think like he definitely seems like the type to have the mindset that he will retire. If he says he's retired, but like, if he keeps fighting, does he go after the rematches with Garcia and Porter?
That would be interesting. It becomes such a jumble now, you know, they got so many welterweights now that, they can pretty much do whatever they want.
And they've all got losses except for Spence.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, like, and that's what you can do with these guys. They're all getting paid and no one really has a commanding position. Like I said this before, there's no Floyd in the mix, you know?
Yep.
So well, everyone can split these and still be pretty equal in the splits.
Right. With the exception of Pacquiao. I'm pretty sure he's still getting the majority of the split.
Yeah, but he's not the Pacquiao of old. He's not, like I said, he's not doing a million. He'll probably do pretty good, but like, he's solid. Like he's not going to get, you know, I think you could make a fight with Manny. Manny's not got to carry a card anymore. You know, all these other welterweights can help him sell because they're interesting fights. Manny and Floyd, they had to do all the heavy lifting because the other guys had no presence in the scene, you know.
You think Thurman comes back against Adrian Broner?
Why? Poor Adrian Broner.
I'm sure Broner doesn't care. He takes very little punishment in his fights, and he gets paid a lot of money.
Well, I tried to make that
seems
point.
Like a good deal
people
to me.
Didn't really like it because I think that's been one of Broner's main things is he doesn't get hurt, so he never thinks he's losing.
Yes.
You know, that's I think his real big problem is that he's like, you can't hurt me, so I'm still winning the fight in his mind. And that's why he's always absolutely had these weird performances.
Absolutely. Broner basically says, like, if you don't drop me, if I'm not wobbled, then you're really losing this fight because I don't think you're hitting me.
Yeah, but he's the only one that thinks such way.
Well, he's also not landing any punches, but he doesn't, like, he's just like, yeah, but so what?
Yeah, that's what he's become ever since he moved up to a welterweight and everything. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what they want to do. Like I said, they have such a wealth of options now, you know?
Do they ship him off and let him fight Terrence Crawford? No, it's obviously a joke. So yeah, any final thoughts? No,
I had no doubt that Top Rank would probably want a fight like that.
Top Rank will take anybody. Look at the opponents they have for Terrence Crawford. They got nothing.
I think ESPN's going to be stepping to the table like they did with Fury. They're going to say, hey, we're going to have to make a fight because things are looking pretty bleak over here.
Man, Keith Thurman outlanded Manny Pacquiao, yet he lost the fight. Remember all those, like, every time Manny Pacquiao's lost, people are like, but Manny won more, he landed more punches.
Not just Manny, all these other fights, you know.
How the tables have turned.
Yeah, exactly. That's why this is funny for trolling, because there's like all these other fights where, you know, he landed more punches, so that means he wins. Well, I guess then Manny lost, eh, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I have never had anything against Manny, but his fan base is just horrible.
I mean, I don't have anything against any fighter, but I definitely hate fan bases. You know, Stephen A talks about this a lot on his show on First Take, where he's just like, I just hate Cowboys fans. They're the most disgusting, deplorable fan base in all of sports. They're pathetic. They think their team is so great and they haven't won a title in like 20 years.
I would have put the Eagles ahead of them, you know, because the Eagles were always worse. They had never won a title before, you know, 2 years
ago. I would agree with that.
They're still obnoxious.
That's a hot take, I think. I think people really like the Eagles as the band. I really don't care. Does anybody know any of their songs other than Hotel California?
I love But I'm Old, so I love the Eagles.
Yeah, well, you know a song other than Hotel California?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go to hell.
Ferrado, Take It to the Limit.
The song with the whistle thing, that's Push It to the Limit. You know the song in Scarface where he's like counting the money and then he buys a tiger? That song, Push It to the Limit? That song is great. Like, I would consider that as my ring walk song.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Caleb Plant
looked good.
Looks slick. Like, I know it's Mike Lee. Oh, the 80s.
Okay, none of the originals are here. But Caleb Plant looked good. I mean, but he was Mike supposed Lee. To. Mike Lee was not very good. I was like, there was no evidence to suggest that Mike Lee would be able to withstand the punches and whatever of an elite world level fighter. And I think it's safe to say, like, Caleb Plant is an elite world level fighter.
Yeah, but okay, this is what's funny, and this is why, like I said, people, like, why I'm a PBC fanboy, because when they announced the Fox PBC lineup, all these writers on Twitter and everything were sitting there pissing and moaning about how these were all showcase bouts and everything, and terrible. And they said Uzcata guy versus Plant was a showcase bout for Uzcata guy. You know, and then Plant wins. So I was like, so don't try to come and, you know, shit on this fight. Mike Lee was obviously outmatched, but Plant still, like, he looked nice. I just like this combination. He looked really slick with the way he was lying his hands.
I really like Caleb Plant. Like this. And this has been learned. I had to learn to like Caleb Plant because he's obviously, I feel like he's got an abrasive personality, and this is coming from somebody who's spoken to him before. But like just in watching him fight, like I have massive respect for him. I think Caleb is just a very good fighter. He does everything, you know. He's a little slick. He can throw in combination. He can fight. You know, I like him. He can do everything, and then he chooses when to do like certain things. And like against Uzcategui, he chose to like mix it up with him, which heading into that fight, it's like, why would you do that? Like, you're not the puncher here. And he won that battle. And he outboxed him. And so, like, I do think he's, like, really good now. I don't think he's the best guy at 168, but I definitely think he is very talented. And, you know, too bad for Mike Lee. Hopefully Subway doesn't cancel their endorsement or whatever.
Yeah, well, they've had worse endorsers.
So, are you trying to tell me that having Mike Lee isn't as bad as having a
Jared
pedophile?
Fogle.
Like a convicted pedophile? That's
So Mike Lee, this isn't very disappointing to Subway.
At the very least, Mike Lee is at least one Subway spokesman that's like a decent human being.
Yeah, he's a good guy. You know, he's a bit of a goofball, but yeah. You know,
would you think of
this like if compared this where PBC's sitting, where Dazen or DAZN is sitting? Where they've had to cancel September fight, Mexican Independence Day weekend.
The biggest fight of the year. You know, the September fight is always more successful. Well, not always, but historically, it's
Mexican holiday
more successful than the May fight.
Yeah, well, because Cinco de Mayo basically was created by a beer company, and it's only about one of the provinces in Mexico, so the rest of Mexico doesn't really give a shit about it. It's more of a U.S. celebration.
Here we are with the wild history lesson.
That's how it is. So this is the big one. This is the Mexican date, you know, that Canelo needed to snatch back from Floyd. And Golden Boy is just fucking it up, you know.
I mean, we spoke about this a little, like, last week. But, you know, It's unfortunate. Can I go, like, I'm just going to derail this before I forget this, but like a little anecdote. So like I was at a party and there was a lot of people there. And like there was more people that knew a bit about boxing than I understood, because I heard, and I didn't look back because I was watching the fight, but people behind me were talking about Deontay Wilder. I wonder why that is. But anyway, before the fight, I was talking to one of the guys and he's like, hey, you know, have you heard of, like, did you watch Canelo's last fight? And I was like, yes. And he's like, man, that was so stupid. Like, that was horrible. I, like, called the cable company because I couldn't find it on the pay-per-view channel. And I called them and they're like, oh, yeah, we don't have it. You have to use an app to get it. So he's like, I downloaded this. So I had to use DAZN, but I didn't have it on my TV. So I had to go to the store, buy the connector. He's you know, talking about, you know, hooking his TV up because I guess his TV doesn't have internet or whatever. So to get the internet, so I had to spend $90 to get something to download the app. I downloaded the app. The app was terrible, and I uninstalled it immediately after the fight. I'll never watch that again. And then someone else chimed in and said, yep, I canceled it immediately after too. And it's like, well, that's really not going to help you if that's your goal, to pay Canelo $30-something million, pay Golovkin $14.5 million to fight Steve Rolls, and people cancel immediately after. And also, this is why they see themselves in such a bad position right now, and this is coming from them. I'm not making this up, but like they've definitely not hit their goal that they wanted to be at after this the Golovkin fight. Well, it's because so many, like, there was a ton of people that didn't get to watch Golovkin fight because they just canceled after the Canelo fight.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to dump on the zone totally, but we kind of, like I said, we called a lot of this stuff last year.
Yeah,
you know, go, you're going to face these things.
Listen to our podcast that we did on it.
Yeah. You know, dumping all your money into a couple of fighters, you know, when you don't have a lot of presence or anything. But just the whole thing, like I said, I don't want to turn this into a big dump session on DAZN. I'm just saying, I want to, for PBC, and especially with PBC and Fox. So now here they go. They got Caleb Plant. This is why they want Caleb Plant out there. Obviously, like, I can't see him losing to Durrell. You know, can you?
No, not Durrell.
Yeah. So then you get
Plant. I think he could beat Benavidez. I think Caleb Plant could beat Benavidez.
Well, but here's what you get, you know. So then, like, because this is why, sort of,
that's
why
what they're building towards.
Yeah, they wanted Plant out there. You know, they really wanted him out there now.
Well,
go ahead. Sure.
I gotta take that. You're gonna love. Yeah. So. Who did Fox had a combat sports deal before PBC came along? Who was that with?
Yeah, we said UFC.
Okay, it was with the UFC, okay? And are there a lot of matchups? Well, first of all, before UFC pay-per-views, did they do cards on Fox? They did.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They did. And so they're doing these cards on Fox, and then they use that to feed into the pay-per-view, because almost always the card on Fox will have more viewers than the pay-per-view. So you have a big pool of people that are going to watch the card, and you hope to convert as high of a percentage of those people watching as possible. So if a million people tune in to watch the card, the pre-card, if 25, 50% of the people order the pay-per-view, well, now you have 250, 500,000 buy pay-per-view, which is a success, no matter who's fighting. So what is... I think... Okay, this is like a hot take, okay? But I think they put Caleb Plant out there. Like, yeah, they want to build the Benavidez fight, but I think they put him out there because he's white. And, like, he looks more like a UFC star than a boxing star. And so this is an attempt, I think, that they made to see if they can bring over UFC fans by giving them something that looks kind of familiar to them and say, now go order the pay-per-view. We got more of this, which, of course, they don't, because, you know, Caleb Plant is pretty unique in the sport of boxing. But do you think I'm off base with this? I don't think so, hanging around business people and specifically without doxing myself, like hanging around people who make these kinds of decisions and talk about this stuff, this is the kind of shrewd thing that they talk about in these meetings.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely that's going to be part of it. You know, that's always going to be on their minds.
I mean, you had two white guys fighting each other. Does that happen a lot in the UFC? Doesn't happen a lot in boxing, at least in America.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I might be, but I think I'm onto something.
Like I said, there's going to be that element in there for sure. You know, because like I said, people who watched the early USC, they pretty much blatantly, that's what their marketing angle was. We got white guys who can fight now, you know. And a lot of people who've picked them up, like who weren't there for the original Fertitta years, they missed that. they were pretty much blatant about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you came in super late.
Yeah, because what Dana had this line: our guys are relatable.
In what way?
Yeah, because they were all white at the time. This is before they had a lot of black guys in the UFC, you know.
Before they got well-spoken people, right?
Before everyone became well-spoken.
Yeah.
But I just mean in terms of Fox, you know. So because they seem to be pushing a lot of the guys. But so you got Plant is on this card. So then they can say, well, we got to say this. See, this is the other thing they never got to say with the UFC. The UFC just gave them whoever the UFC wanted to give them. So this is why they started out hot with, you know, 5 million viewers or whatever for the Cain Velasquez versus Junior Dos Santos downhill as the years went on, because the UFC was keeping them all. He was just using them to feed into their pay-per-views and everything. That's why there weren't, I think there were more, there are probably more main boxing cards on Fox, like Fox proper, ever were like in a year on the UFC. You know, and this is just your first year. So Fox really liking this, because they said they get a say in it. They get to work with this. And like I said before, no one is too big for them to work with.
Yep.
Like Showtime had Manny at the start of the year, but now Fox had Manny. These guys could move back and forth.
Do you think this pay-per-view is going to do more buys than the Broner pay-per-view did?
I think it might, but you never know because it's summertime.
True.
I think it could.
I think so too. And I think the Fox push, we're going to see if the Fox promotion makes a difference, because I think this was a harder fight to sell.
Yeah, even though it was a much better fight.
For sure. And
that Broner fight sold really well. Like I said, they had a $6 million gate. Canelo versus Jacobs was 8.5. You know, so for what it was, and they had like, what, 500,000 buys?
You know, I don't even think they sold the arena out either.
Yeah, I can't remember. I looked at the number, but I forget what it was. You know, but yeah, it wasn't. So yeah, this will probably do more than six. You know.
So if
for me, this PBC, especially when PBC and Fox, because Showtime, everyone says, oh, they're out of it. Not Showtime. They're in with Deontay. Isn't Davis's fight on Showtime?
Gervonta will be fighting on Showtime, yes.
Yeah, so he's mostly a Showtime guy.
I wonder why.
Yeah, but, you know, that's so.
Because he's not relatable.
Yeah, he's not well spoken.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I don't know. I like it. You know, people, again, the old bitch about was, well, we need boxing back on TV. Well, now you got it. You're getting a lot of good fights on Fox proper.
Yeah. Well,
show up. And then Fox, like I said, they got to be over the moon. Like, in my opinion, because they got a stake in it. They're getting these great fights. Like, you can't get anything better than this fight now.
Yeah, this was good. I think the card in general was pretty solid. The Figueroa-Ugas fight was pretty decent. I mean, it wasn't like the greatest masterclass of skills, but I think in terms of like where dudes punching each other in the face a lot, yeah. The Lipinus fight was what it was, and it was never expected to be anything. Like, the Lipinus fight was going to be just a brutal beatdown anyway, because he was supposed to fight John Molina. And while John Molina is super tough, I think Lipinus was for sure always going to win that fight. And then Neary versus Payano, you saw Neary kind of play with his food a little bit before ending the fight.
Those are good fights, you know. Yeah. I had a lot of fun. It was good. It was worth buying, so.
For sure. So yeah, that just about wraps it up. We've been talking for a while about this fight. I hope you guys enjoyed it. This is an immediate post-fight reaction podcast with anything else, Fred? Any final words you want to say on the card?
No, it's good. I want to see hype for Spence Porter.
Yeah, and it'll be here in LA, so good for me.
But, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah. Too bad no fights are by where you live. Unless you want to make the drive out to Toronto and watch Steve Rolls. You know.
I'll get a class in with him.
Have a good night. Okay, hold on. Do you think anybody gets why I'm playing the song? Do you know why I play the song?
Didn't Manny come out to Eye of the Tiger?
No. So, yes, he did. But Manny always used to come out to Eye of the Tiger, and then he switched it for like three fights or so, and he used this song. It became Manny's song for a while.
You got a mind on you, baby.
Hey, man. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah.
I still think I like the part where Rollins just comes in hot.